guys. Paul, good to see you.
All right.
Hi. There is. There's someone else is here. That's good. We're going to have a little family time today. I'll let you know how this will work here in a second. I have a couple of guests, me, myself, and I here. Just kidding. No, that's not going to be that weird. We've been, if you're new to Sunrise today, welcome. We're glad you're here. You are in our sixth week of a seven-week series called Forgotten God, which has to do with the Holy Spirit, this part of God that lives in us, that dwells in us. And the reason we're doing this series, the reason we're in this series, is because it is easy for a body like ours, it's easy for us that have been in the church for a long time, a lot of times to get, how do I say this without being heretical? We can get locked into the Word and miss the power that is speaking through this Word. And that same power that God has placed in us on salvation, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and He comes to dwell in us, God in us. And that's the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about in this series, that we think that the Bible has probably a lot more to say about the Holy Spirit than we always necessarily practice. And so it's a fun series. I hope you've been reading the book. I've really enjoyed it the kind of second, third time that I've been going through it. This chapter in the book is called chapter 6. It's called Forget About God's Will for Your Life. Oh, that sounds a little sacrilegious. I love it. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I came to Christ, when I got on fire for Christ, my youth leaders in high school would talk about, okay, you know, we got to figure out God's will for your life, Cliff. And don't ever say that to a high school senior, right? We're bad enough what we do to them. So, you figured out where you're going to college next year? And then you're like, oh, no, you better like talk to their parents a little bit. And then maybe they have figured out where they're going to college. Well, what's your major going to be? What do you want to do with the rest of your life? And they're like, I just want to survive this math class I'm in. And they're like, well, how many kids do you think you'll have once? You know, that this is part of the problem. This is what we do. And sometimes we have a faulty view of God's will. We think of it this way, that there's this exact perfect little thing. So if we're out of God's will for one little moment, we're going to mess things up for everybody. Here's how it works. Okay, it's God's will for my life that I go to this college right here. But I went to this college, so I'm already out of God's will, and I messed it up. Because if I'd have gone to that college, when I was there, I would have figured out the right major. And I would have gone that direction, but instead I went this direction, so now I'm out of will, God's will for my major, because I went to the wrong college. And then I get a job, and now I'm out of God's will in the job that I'm in because I was in the wrong major because I went to the wrong college. And then I was in that job, it moved me to this town, and when I was in that town, I met this woman, and she was amazing. But because I was in the wrong major, it put me in the wrong field, in the wrong major, at the wrong college, in the wrong town, it was the wrong woman for my life. And therefore, the man she should have married is out of God's will. And I have completely destroyed God's will for everybody. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. I'm not. And you nailed it right there. It's the narcissism of God's will. I didn't even say that to first service. But it's all about me. I got to find God's will for me. And that's not what God's will is. In fact, I want to put a slide up here that says what God's will isn't. God's will isn't a magical, mystical, predetermined pathway that I have to figure out through problem solving or figuring out some sort of riddle, you know, like getting out of an escape room. That's not what God's will is. But sometimes we treat it that way. I mean, just this last week, I'm like, oh, Lord, please show me direction in this one thing. I really need your direction. God, I need to hear from you. I need you to tell me which way to go. And I'm like, I'm preaching this exact message Sunday morning. You've got to be kidding me. Okay, stop, Cliff. Stop, relax, live today. Okay, what else is God's will not? It's not receiving your life plan from God in advance. Yeah, really. I want to know, don't I? Give me your entire plan. And we've talked about this before. Could you imagine what it would be like to know God's exact plan and pathway for you in advance? Oh, if you knew how much he was going to use you, the amazing things he was going to do through you, your mind would explode. You'd be the most prideful person. You'd be in sin. And if you knew the pain that you'd have to go through, the suffering, the death that would come in your path, the hurt, you'd give up. And so God doesn't tell us those things ahead of time. And as we're urged in this book, let's stop trying to figure it all out. Let's live day to day. We're going to have some fun this morning. I want to invite a couple of my friends up. Juliana Law and Julie Snyder. They were volunteers in our high school ministry here when I started just about 5 years ago. And hi. This is so fun. Thank you for being here. Thank you very much.
I don't think these are on.
It's not working? Let's make it work. Oh, it'll be on. Don't worry. Yeah, this will be good. They'll turn it on up there. Okay.
So not technical.
It's all good. It's all good. You're a missionary and it's all good. You're doing what you're supposed to do.
There it is.
We're going to have a little conversation. So about a little over a week ago, Julie and Juliana came over to our house, and we just sat around the table, and I think it was about an hour and a half before I finally kicked them out of the house. I'm like, I got to get some things done today. But we sat around the table and talked about God's will for your life, right? And we talked about lots of trials. We talked about all kinds of things. And so to set a little bit of context here, Julie, tell us just a quick synopsis, who you are, what your involvement here is at Sunrise, that kind of thing.
I grew up here, and I became a Christian when I was very young and followed Jesus, but had some pretty mixed up theology about how you earn God's affection and approval. And so when I got pregnant out of wedlock in my college years, I thought God was done with me, hated me, and didn't want to see me ever again, that I certainly wouldn't be welcome back into the church or ministry that I had been doing beforehand. But that is not the God we love and serve. And through my redemption story, God has completely restored my life in ways that I just didn't know were possible because of how good and gracious he is. He's gracious and loving and merciful. Yeah. So that's a little bit of my story. And the last couple of years, God even restored it to the point that we took a short-term team to Ukraine to work with Juliana. And who knew, like, if God had said that I was going to do that, like you were just talking about, if he'd said that 20 years ago, I'd have been like, yeah, right. Okay, sure.
So, and currently involved in high school ministry here at the church.
Yes, and currently involved on high school staff.
What grade students are you working
with? My girls are sophomores this year.
God bless you.
Yeah, they're great. They're great. And I have a 16-year-old daughter who's also a part of our high school ministry. Her name is Abby. And a big part of my story is that Abby was born with some serious medical issues. Many of you know her. She has done 53 surgeries in her life, and she's doing great, so don't feel bad. But in the beginning, she wasn't supposed to make it, and so that really is the story of how God drew me back to him, was through what we couldn't earn, what we couldn't figure out. I shouldn't have been able to earn a miracle, but a miracle took place nonetheless. And Abby survived, and the doctors acknowledged that that is a walking, talking, breathing miracle, and she went to Ukraine with us. And so that's my snapshot of my story.
Okay, so Juliana, give us a snapshot, because we're going to ask a lot of questions, but a little snapshot of what got you here this morning.
Yeah, even just fun to reflect, because I remember it was in Germany that God first decided to start calling me in a different direction. And I remember thinking, like, okay, Lord, then I need a healthy home church. And all I knew were Brad and Laurel Jenkins. And the Lord planted me here, but I didn't even know where I was going yet. And one of the ways that I found out where God was leading was at a stoplight in my little German village. I felt like God was really showing me, I can't lead your life because you resist my love. And the only way I can lead you is out of my deep love for you. And what is so crazy is it took from that point 5 years to get to Ukraine. It was not in my plan, filled with the most obstacles and hardships I'd probably ever faced, because God wanted to redefine his love for me.
Yeah.
It's not doesn't look the road that I would think it would look, or maybe even the way it sometimes I would want it to look, but he knows the way to love me and show me how to follow him, build my faith, and he's always preparing for the next step to be faithful and obedient. So it was a long journey filled with obstacles, but praise God, I've almost been in Ukraine 4 years.
Okay. Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So when I started in high school ministry here, I inherited them onto my staff, which is amazing for any youth pastor to inherit these kind of people that are discipling young ladies. And these girls absolutely adored them. And it was neat to see how God used them. And for the girls to be able to watch the Lord lead them in different ways and to take Juliana away from them and to send her. I'll never forget the service we had out there where we commissioned you over there in the high school room. And everybody, you know, one after another, talked about the impact that you'd had on their lives. And I love that, because you were living for God every day in that I'll call it the intertestamental period, you know, like that period in between when things just seemed silent and God wasn't moving you to Ukraine, mm-hmm. and yet he was really using you during that time.
Yeah,
so this is all about God's will. This is and this is a very practical message on God's will, because we're going to kind of live it out firsthand. Okay, so the person that's moving slides, who are you? Where are you back there? Okay, I'm switching it all up on you. We are going, I know, exactly. We are going to the slide that says God's will is and lists all six verses on there. We're just going to put that slide up there. Mm-hmm. And we're going to put a whole slew of verses up here on the screen or things with verse references. There it is. Okay, so if we look at these things, Romans 8:27 says, "He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good, pleasing, and perfect will." 1 Thessalonians, we can do that. Thessalonica, I can do this. 4:3, it's God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, giving thanks. And then the 1 Peter 2:15, for it's God's will by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better if it's God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And finally, 1 Peter 4:19, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Okay, so with all of that, I see God's will is that the Spirit knows God's will. God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. God's will is that we should be sanctified, that we should be thankful, that we should do good, that we should suffer. Nowhere in there do I see God's will is that tomorrow I, you know, head down and work at this particular school, and then the next year I go and minister at that place, and then, you know, I go on this mission trip. I don't see direction here.
Right.
What are your thoughts with all of this? Let's just kind of invite them into our living room here.
Yeah, and I love that it goes back even to that first verse of knowing the Spirit.
Yeah.
And personally learning to depend on the Spirit to lead you. Even like some of the story, even with my own brother, has been a difficult road. And I even remember asking God one time, this was when I was in college, of God, how do I even relate? How do I love him well? And God said, every time you depend on the Spirit differently to love differently. And I think sometimes we want this formula. We want this formula of how to fix something in our lives or how to make something work in our life. And yet God is often saying, just trust me, just depend on me for the next step.
Yeah.
And even moving into Ukraine, there was a song, No Longer Slaves, we even sung in first service, that said, you part the sea so I can walk right through it. And what I love about that is that God was saying, I've already gone before you. I've already pushed back the Jordan. You just get to take faithful steps towards it. And even when I was in Ukraine, one of the first few weeks, I started breaking down already. I was like, oh no, like this, it was especially during a language lesson where I knew it was really tough for me. And I knew I couldn't do it. And I was like, God, I want to be able to be more, do more, or just even be enough for this. And God had to say, you're not enough. You're not enough for any day out here. You're not. The good thing is my spirit's enough. I am enough. And so I put on worship music, and I sung that song again. And I'm like, you've already gone before me. Your good works are before me. I just need to follow you. And that's when I can be obedient and faithful, because he is faithful, not because I'm faithful. So I just love holding on to that.
That's good.
Not basing my strength in myself, but basing my strength and my faith of the future in what he can do and who he is.
I love that. You get that. Your faith is not in you. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about him, and that's how you can handle the hard. I mean, yeah. I can only imagine what it was like to suddenly be over there, and you've been working for all of this for 5 years, and here you are, and going, did I make the wrong choice? Should I even be here?
Right. Well, and oftentimes when we're trying to find God's will, we set it up against, is this working out well? Oh, maybe this isn't
right.
God's will. And I think that was one of the big challenges, even being on this side of the pond praying for Juliana, was, well, we know that this is God's will, and we know that this is challenging and it's difficult, but we know that if God called you to do it, he will make ways for you to do it. And so, yeah, it's painful, but it's so worth it in the end when you see the result of just continuing to put your foot forward in faith instead of going, this is really hard. This must not be God's plan.
Right, right. Julie, in first service, you mentioned this. It was really good. Mm-hmm. You talked about how God lined up you going to Ukraine.
Sure.
And taking, ultimately leading a short-term trip over there. That wasn't what you had planned.
No, not at all. I wasn't even planning to go over to do ministry yet. I was planning to go over and do training. And I needed to be able to take my daughter, Abby, who was reliant on me for medical care. And so she was going to just go along with me, and we were going to receive team training for future trips down the road eventually. And it was, Juliana was home on home assignment and was able to, you know, convince me that was the summer that we would go. And so, yeah, that's great. We're going to do that. And we believe that will be okay. And we just, you know, talked through some of the details of Abby's medical care while we were there. And it didn't seem like it was going to be too demanding on us. So, of course, we were going to go. And at the same time, Juliana was talking with our then college director, Nolan. And he thought that would be a good trip for the young adults to take. And so he called me up and said, hey, Julie, we would like to send a team to Ukraine. Can they travel along with you? Would you just do your flights with us? And yeah, that's great. We would love to do that. That's safe. I'd love it. And so 2 weeks later, Nolan calls, hey, Julie, would you consider co-leading this team with me to Ukraine? You know, we'll need two leaders for this trip. And would you pray about doing that? Sure, I'll pray about it. So I got right back to him and I was like, yeah, I think God's asking me to do that. I don't know what I'm doing, but sure, I'd be happy to participate somehow. And I'm sure that we'll figure it all out. And he seemed very assured and really prepared. And so, great, Nolan's leading and I'll just co-lead. And then 2 weeks later, Nolan calls and says, Julie, I can't go. I'm having a child soon. And so I can't leave my wife, who is due around that time. So would you lead the team? I was like, I'm going to have to pray about
yourself.
That one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I'm sure we can find you a co-leader. But then when I confirmed with him that I would lead, no, there was no other leader available. So, Julie, you're going to be leading this team to Ukraine. And so
you, girl.
That is apparently because that's what happened. And, man, I got to take, young adults twice. So the first year was three young adults and my daughter and my, or four young adults, three yeah. guy, or one guy and three girls. And
yeah,
then
Giuseppe was the solo
yeah,
man
poor
on that
guy.
Trip. Yeah.
Yeah, and then this year, Matthew was the solo
man.
Guy. And so I took two
college
girls.
I think we might have a
girls.
Picture. Do, yes. we, do we have a picture
yeah,
of that one?
Yeah, this was our team this last year.
Yep. Look
and I that. Promise that you don't have to be that dirty the whole time. But it was so fun. We were
the
giggling.
The joys of youth camp.
It was so fun. And those are color wars with colored powder, and it was insanely fun. And so we took 2 years. We've gone over the summer. We've taken a two-week and a three-week trip. And God does just amazing things on those trips. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And who knew that he would call me to lead those two trips? It just, it's insane. And then this next year, I cannot go, so Matthew and Sarah are going to be going and leading a team. Isn't that awesome? Oh. God just is great the way he unfolds things that I'm like, I would never plan that.
So he unfolds it. It looks really good, and there's so many times where you see, like, God did this thing, and we will tend to say, look how he blessed us, right?
Right.
Look how, you know, we went to raise 20,000 and 30,000 came in, and God obviously blessed. And those are the days where we're like, oh, yes, God's will, it's good, pleasing, it's perfect, it's amazing.
It's easy to believe in that
It's
moment.
Easy to believe in. But then I get to these bottom ones, and especially in 1 Peter, and he talks about suffering.
Yeah.
And he says, it's better, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good. So then those who suffer according to God's will, should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So there's this suffering element. Juliana, you are in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. There is war going on. Mm-hmm. You have boys that you work with that are going off to war against yeah. Russia. Mm-hmm. Tell us about suffering.
Yeah, in fact, even Stas, one of the intern guys, he just headed to war. So it does, it gets very personal, and you know, that people are still dying daily. And more than that, the nation has really been, the economy has really fallen because of it. Everyone I know is hurting because of it. And even as we look at what's happening in our world today, just next door, yeah. we see the deep pain that is constantly around us. And I just really am so thankful that Jesus died for this and that he brought light and hope into that is why he entered our world, and he chose to live incarnationally. He chose to come and enter our world because of the pain and the brokenness and the darkness of our world. And I wonder how much we miss, and I miss, through not being willing to suffer, through not having even a desire to get uncomfortable or inconvenienced or interrupted. And even funny enough, this summer afterwards, I traveled with an intern, and I wound up climbing by myself up to this place called Pulpit Rock.
This is something else.
And if you've seen Mission Impossible, the new one, it's the rock. He has Tom Cruise as the epic scene at the end. So I only go a few minutes, you guys, and I'm dying. I'm so out of shape. I'm like, there is no way. I cannot do this. I was already dying. And I literally said that to God. I was like, God, I want to be able to do this, but I just don't think I can. And I said, but if you've ever seen Hacksaw Ridge, he saves men through the night by saying, God, give me strength to save one more. And so I just began praying, God, if you give me strength for another step, I'll keep walking. And I just wound up doing this like 7-kilometer hike, hours it took, up to this high rock. And I just realized, how much victory do you miss because you're not willing to embrace the pain, or because you give up too quick? And I just had this moment of victory with the Lord that he showed me, if you just stay faithful daily, if you just keep stepping every day, I'm going to continue to take your life to great heights. And really, that's all it is. And as I walked back, there were so many places where I was like, I would have missed this, because if I had given up at any of those points, I would have missed that treasure. And in general, in ministry, you guys, most days I probably honestly would want to give up. But at the same time, what would I miss if I did? Because God is moving. I could tell you story after story of young people's lives who are truly being impacted, and kids are repenting and becoming leaders in a nation where it's a cult to be a true Christian. They call anyone who's a true Christian a cult. And so it's just interesting to see them stand in faith, and they inspire me, especially in a nation that has no hope, is incredibly dark, is at war, and they're choosing Jesus because they know it's the only place of hope and strength that they can find. And that's true for us, true for them. So I pray that we would rise up and say, I want to be on those front lines. I want to embrace it, because there's no greater joy than repentance and turning to Jesus for help, because we all need community. We all need help, because we want to do great things, but we can't. We can't by ourselves. We can't alone. And that's a good thing. I'm glad it's over our head, and that we need a Savior to depend on daily in order to live out any faith. We're faithful because He's faithful. That's it.
What else do we need to say? I don't even know what to say. He just gave a whole sermon right there. Tell me about times you've seen just where it's so clearly that God showed up, you saw His power, and that was completely outside of your abilities.
Mm. Well, let's start with the birth of my child.
Yeah.
So when Abby was born, she was born a little bit early, and they said that they would have to transfer us to another hospital to do surgery to save her life because she didn't have a normal trachea. It was attached to her esophagus, and her esophagus wasn't attached to her stomach. So basically, nothing was plumbed correctly and needed to be fixed surgically. And so they transferred us down to another hospital the next morning, and the doctor said, it's going to be a long surgery, but I'll send a nurse out with updates. And about 10 minutes into the surgery, he calls Abby's dad and myself into a side room and sits us down, and I'm like, this can't be good. And he said, I'm so sorry. There's really nothing we can do to save her life because we can't get a breathing tube in to sustain her during the surgery. We're just so sorry. There's nothing we can do. And it was in that moment that God reminded me of a couple of verses through some really ugly wallpaper that can only be in hospitals. And he reminded me that I'm the vine and you're the branch, and you have to remain in me and I'll remain in you. And at that time, I wasn't walking with the Lord, and so I just heard condemnation. I was like, oh, well, this is why it's happening. You're so mad at me, and I didn't stay close to you, and so Abby's going to die. And then he spoke the verse from Romans 8:28, the next verse, where the Spirit knows His will. I didn't know it, but He reminded me that we know that in all things God works together for good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And I just was like, God, how could this be good? How on earth is the death of my child going to be used for good? And I almost threw up a challenge, like, prove it. Prove that you're good. And over that week, every day the doctor would come in and say, we did an MRI and a CT scan. I'm so sorry. There's nothing we can do. She's going to die. And we started planning her funeral and talking about what the end of life care looks like and all of those conversations that are devastating. And my mom came to me in the middle of that week and said, Julie, I know you don't want to talk about this, but we need to talk about God, because you're in the best possible place for a miracle, because the doctors have already said there is absolutely nothing they can do to save her. And so if this child survives, he will get the glory. And I was like, huh. Well, I haven't earned the miracle. So that was my theology that was bad, that somehow I was supposed to earn God's favor and affection. And so that was on the third day of her life. And we prayed, and it was like this glimmer of hope. Like, Lord, it's not that I don't believe that you can, because I know you can. But I'm struggling to believe that you will because of what I've done. And it's just with this tiny bit of faith that I have left, not in me, but in you, that will you please save her life? And for the next 4 days, I heard no, because the doctors kept saying, I'm so sorry. There's just nothing we can do. We've talked with every surgeon in the world. All of the renowned surgeons were working on Abby, and there was just nothing they could do. And so on the seventh day, the doctor came in and said, "We don't know what happened, but Abby has a normal trachea, and we're going to go and do surgery at 2 o'clock. And I was like, "Well, I know what happened." And he said, "Yeah, we can't write anything like that in the chart." So, but to this day, they acknowledge her as a walking, talking, breathing miracle. And so that was the moment where God went, "You can't do this on your own." And throughout all of these surgeries, but also throughout all of the relational complications, you know, her dad and I didn't stay together. And God has faithfully proven that you choose the way that you want to do things, but don't be surprised when I change it, because you can't, you don't have the foreknowledge that I have. And that is the beauty of knowing God, knowing the creator of the universe, is knowing that, I would have planned it so different.
Yeah.
I would have planned it so different, but boy, I know Jesus in ways that I never could have known him apart from the suffering that we've gone through.
Yeah.
And my daughter knows Jesus in ways that I never could have imagined for her. And so then we look at our future with who knows what is next. You know, my life's going to change. She's going away to college, and it will change. And I don't know what God has next for me, and I don't have to. I think I have some ideas, but I'm fully aware that my ideas didn't work out before, so why would they work out this time, right? And so then the beauty of it is, in faith, we took Abby to Ukraine both summers. And while we were serving there, Abby's health wasn't great, and there was no direct medical care available in Ukraine. And so it was a risk from the human perspective to even take her along. That was a risk. And she's medically fragile, and her compromised immune system was, it was kind of like a recipe for, this doesn't make sense, why would you do that? And we had people questioning that. But we went, and I would love to say that Abby did beautifully and there were no complications, and that's not true. Abby suffered medically while we were there, but she survived. And while God called her to serve in certain ways, he enabled her body to be healthy enough to serve just for that time. And so she would get up and do whatever was asked of her in the moment. And when she had downtime that first year, she was back in her room sick the entire time. But Abby learned dependency on the Lord, not in her own strength, but in his strength. Mm-hmm. And so when we went back the second year, it wasn't as difficult medically, but it was difficult for her spiritually. And so she got to learn dependency on the Lord even better. And, you know, we learn from each other's stories, right? So I go and watch Juliana serve, and I'm empowered by her faith, and I'm encouraged by God establishing faith in Abby, and I'm encouraged when God shows me that, oh, no, it's not going to be the way you want to do it. Do it my way. Trust me, it's better. And so we just end up with these Ebenezers to look back on. So why can't I trust him with the next decision? Because it worked out so well on this past time, and then that other time, and then that other time. And so we have all these moments to look back on and say, the sovereign creator of the universe is deeply involved in my own life. And he has the foreknowledge. He says he knows the end from the beginning. He says it differently than we do, because he doesn't think, oh, what's going to happen next? He wasn't surprised by any of my choices. I was surprised by them, but he wasn't, because he foreknew what would happen. And so why wouldn't I surrender all of my plans to him?
Yeah.
And real quick for me, I know, every day is, to be real honest, very painful and difficult a lot of times. And everything is still so different. And I have a church that really doesn't understand me and is actually stuck in a lot of legalism and judgment. And at the same time, even before I went, I just remember going, so many people miss out because they refuse to place themselves in a place of need, even with God. And I get to see Jesus show up every day because I need him every day. Because I'm literally, you guys are even helping fuel what God is doing in Ukraine through your generous support as a church and through individuals. And I get to see that and feel that every day, because I chose to be needy before God. And I think it's hard because our society doesn't train us up in that way.
No.
It's about the self-made man. It's about independence. It's about these things. And yet, when we choose to be needy before God, that's when Jesus shows up. That's when his miracles happen. And I think often it's actually in faith, and it's actually when we praise him that those miracles will begin happening, where we'll see him move. And I also think, too, the beauty of living in dependency, I'm like, oh, if, like, even I just understand what it is to daily depend on him and to daily trust him, like, oh, yeah, that's when I see his miracles. And so also God woke me up this week saying, you are paralyzed by pleasure. And that was a hard one for me to think and pray about. And I just realized, even coming back to America, how drawn in it is, how easy it is to want the things in this world. And the more we surrender it, the more we give it, the more we find life, the more we find joy, the more we find Jesus. And so I just want to reflect that as the more you give to him, the more he just pours back. Because I think our society is really good at saying more, more, more. And one time when I was worshiping, I was like, every worship song saying more. And God was saying, yes, say more, because we want more of Jesus. We want God to move. But say it out of a place that says he is enough.
Yeah.
He is enough. Like, even people said, they went to war right before I moved to Ukraine. And people are saying, are you sure you should still go? And I said, if God calls me there 2 weeks and moves me, calls me 2 years, if he calls me 20 years, then it's enough. Just saying yes to God is enough. Just take one step and let God be enough for the one step, and let it lead to another step where God will be enough again and again. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, so we're gonna wrap this up. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And I look at this this word flesh, which, you know, really talks about this old nature, this sin nature that I'm born with. And when I think about the context of that, I often think about just, you know, desires of the flesh have so much to do with some physical things, but I think there's a desire that we have in our flesh to have it all together. We have a desire to have it all figured out. And I would even propose to you that maybe a fleshly desire that a lot of us have is having the future figured out. Having our retirement planned out. Having our kids' college figured out. It's not. We put on these desires of the flesh that usually have to do with more about the people that we're around than the God that we serve. And so I think this desire to have God's little plan and will figured out and every turn of the way figured out is a desire of the flesh. And Paul says to the Galatians, walk by the Spirit. And if you're walking in the Spirit every day, you're not gratifying that desire. You're not worried about that future. You're not worried about that circumstances and how that's all going to work out. The other verse in that really stood out to me in Romans 8, when Paul says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. When our minds are driven by that fleshly desire, whatever it is, that leads towards death. When our mind is controlled by the Spirit, that's life. That's peace. And that's a peace. My friend Trevor is a pastor in Paradise. And this morning, their church is actually this afternoon getting ready. They're starting up here in about 25 minutes. And their church from Paradise is meeting down in Chico. And let me tell you, I'm watching this guy, as in like the rest of you are. We're all watching these things on Facebook and in the news and everywhere. And I'm watching him living in the power of the Spirit and going, God, you're going to have to show up. You're going to have to provide, because this is completely out of our abilities. How many of us are connected to someone who's lost everything in the fire? Right? Look around. In the first service, I think we had about 60 people raise their hand on that one. And we look at the tragedy, we look at the pain, we look at the loss, and yet redemption is going to literally rise up out of those ashes. And God is going to show himself faithful
through the power that only can come through the Holy Spirit. Not through FEMA, not through a bunch of organized plans, but because people are living desperately needing God to show up. And I guarantee you he's going to be there. And he is there. I'll kind of close things off with this quote. This is out of Francis Chan, out of Forgotten God. He says, "My hope is that instead of searching for God's will for my life, each of us would learn to seek hard after the Spirit's leading in my life today." Imagine if we live like that every day. And we wake up and say, "Holy Spirit, what do you have for me today? Where is it going to be?" My guess is that it's probably not going to be a huge focus on me. What do you have for me today, Holy Spirit? How am I going to serve you today? I challenge you today to listen to the Spirit as you walk out of this room. What's the Spirit leading you to?